Hello, and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane, and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop, and trust your intuition through interviews with other guests and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition podcast. I'm Susan Jane, your host for the podcast. And today we have got someone very special. But I think I say that every week, but it's true because I only have good people on. So you know they're always special. But today we've got Bridget. Now, Bridget, we've had a few comings and goings with Bridget because we know we've had to change things around and move things around. So I'm really excited to have her on board. Now, Bridget is an intuitive life coach. But what really resonated with me with Bridget is that in 2018, she had her big aha moment. Now, for me, that's quite recently. And so I want to get an understanding of what that means to her and how that's affected her life, because I've been doing this for quite some time. So it's nice to get that lovely, fresh look at it and get a better understanding of it. But before we go ahead, I'd love you to subscribe or like, share the podcast, do those things that we ask you to do. And I really don't like asking people to do things, so I do have a challenge with that. But before we talk about anything else, I want to introduce you to the lovely Bridget, Bridget Cooper. Hi, Bridget. Oh, hang on. Let me press the right button. Hi, Bridget.
Hello. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here. We're on the opposite sides of the world.
Yes, I know. To me, it's morning here. It's afternoon for you, isn't it?
It's 6 p.m.
Yes. So tomorrow's going to be a little bit overcast for you if you're going to get our weather.
Well, I don't even know what the forecast is tomorrow, to be honest with you. I'm hoping it's not as hot as today.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, because we're going through winter at the moment. So, yeah, it's cool. Oh, not as cool as you have sometimes, like where I am. We don't have snow or anything like that. But, yeah, we do have to wear long sleeves sometimes, you know, which is a bit challenging.
Yes. And your solstice is the opposite. So when we are experiencing, we had our longest day last week and it was like, oh, wow, you know, and you're having your shortest day and now you're entering into that period of like spring is coming.
Yes. I'll be in the UK in spring. This recording will go out while I'm in the UK, I think, or just getting back from the UK. That's how advanced we are in it. I've got so many ahead at the moment. But it's enough about me. This is not what we're talking about. We're talking about you. Okay. So, Bridget, I looked at your profile and everything else, and it was in 2018 that you had your big aha moment. Now, I'd love to get an understanding of what was going on before. What attracted you to see this or to experience this and how that's taken you forward? So can you give us a little bit of a rundown on that?
Sure. So in 2018, I was almost 42 years old. I was working in my corporate job for over, you know, almost 15 years. And I was just starting to feel a little bit like itchy and uncomfortable and feeling like maybe I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing. I also had some an illness in my family. My oldest brother, who has since passed away, was sick for 18 months with cancer. And so, you know, when you have an illness like that, sometimes it creates just awareness in you that you didn't realize was there. And so in March 2018, I was already kind of feeling a little bit like not quite sure about what was going on in my life, if I was in alignment. And I listened to Gwyneth Paltrow's first podcast, her Goop podcast, and she had Oprah on. That was her first guest. And Oprah mentioned The Power of Now. And for some reason, I'm a prolific reader and I read a lot on the train when I was commuting into work. So for some reason, I opened my library app and I put A New Earth on my library list. And nothing has ever been the same. For me, Eckhart is that person who taught me a different way to experience my life. And it was all through The Power of Now, which so many spiritual teachers teach, right? But for whatever reason, he was my, I call him my like gateway drug to spirituality, like Eckhart. Yeah.
So just take us back a little bit there, because not everybody, I know who you're talking about. I have completely a very good understanding of who you're talking about. I have read both of those books too. But can you just take us back a little bit, because people may not know who Eckhart Tolle is and what his two books are. So can we just jump back and have a look? Because unless I get a little bit of an understanding of that, they're not going to get an understanding of how you went forward and what it did for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I read A New Earth, which is his most popular book, and I did enjoy it. But to be honest, I couldn't really quote it to you, because once I realized he wrote The Power of Now, I got that book second, and it is like a manual for life. What he taught me, what he created space in my brain for, was that I am not my thoughts, and that my thoughts are you know, energy inside of me, but I don't have to believe my thoughts. And then he also teaches, his main principle is present moment living, which means that in every moment you're alive in this human experience, the only thing you have is the exact present moment you're in. And what so many humans suffer from, and I suffered from this absolutely, was either ruminating about the past, about the mistakes, what I should have done differently. But for me, it was definitely more that worrying about the future, what's going to happen in the future. And so he taught me things like, when you worry about things in the future, it feels like you're doing something, but you can never be prepared for the present moment when it actually happens. So it's sort of like wasted energy. He really got me to understand how everything is sort of energy, and that we are just wasting it all the time, and we're on autopilot. And so learning to, I spent a year like practicing living in the present moment and really realizing how much I didn't live in the present moment. And through that process, sort of resetting my nervous system and getting more grounded into like what is actually happening in this moment, as opposed to living in my head, worrying about the future, what is going to happen, like trying to prepare in my mind for something that hadn't happened yet. And he explained to me that that's like a useless exercise. And I am my biggest core value, the thing that I am like here on this earth to bring, is efficiencies. And as soon as I learned that worrying was not getting me what I thought it was getting me, it becomes a lot less easy to do, you know, because you understand that you are creating your, you know, that you have the power, and it's just all inside of you. So he was my first person to explain that to me in those terms.
Yes. And I have to agree with you, Bridget. I read The New Earth and I didn't get anything out of it. I had read so many books. To me, he was just repeating some of the stuff I already knew. But The Power of Now was amazing, because it gave you everything you needed to live in the now. Mm-hmm. And yes, we get that anxiety when we're worrying about the future, and we get depression when we're concerned about the past. Mm-hmm. But when we start to live in the now, the whole world changes, doesn't it?
It feels so much more navigable. You feel like, oh, if I only have to really be in this present moment, I can do anything. What humans tend to do is create all of these scenarios and stories in their brain that, you know, our energy leaks that take them away from the present moment. And so, but it's really, you really have to practice it. And I think that the world, unfortunately, is set up to keep people out of the present moment. I think it's sort of part of, you know, this is of the programming that we live in so many ways. So, you know, it's an uphill battle.
Yes, yes, I agree. And yes, they're using fear and other aspects to make you either be worried about the future or concerned about the past, and create this anxiety and depression and concern and stress and rah, rah, rah. When you, like you say, bring it back to the now, we've got complete control. We have complete control. Now, listen to me. Now, what we're talking about is wanting a different life and doing something different with your life. So let's go back to the beginning again. If we're living in this life we're in, and we're not overly impressed with it or happy with it, or you know, like it's not sort of going the way we want to do, we want to go. And I guess that's what you had, and you found the book and you started to do this practice. But tell me, or can you step us through some of the practices you did to help you get through?
Sure. So when I first discovered the power of now, I was working full-time in corporate America. I have three children. I have a husband. So I had a very full life. And so I would literally walk down the street and just watch my feet walking down the street. This is in the very beginning, and say, like, I'm walking down the street. This is exactly where I am. This is exactly where I need to be. When I would be in work, at in meetings, and I would feel anxiety come up in me, I would just remind myself. It was a lot of reminding myself that you know, what is happening right in this moment? What is going on right in this moment? And it's almost like training your brain, you know what I mean? Because your brain is really used to going to these places in the future. And so through Eckhart, it was really practicing like what is happening in this present moment. And then the other concept that he teaches, the language he uses, the pain body. And during this time, I was doing a lot. After Eckhart, I got into To Be Magnetic, which is a manifestation sort of meditation program that a gal in the United States started. And it was so interesting because a lot of what that To Be Magnetic teaches is connecting to your inner child and connecting to your shadow. And Eckhart talks about your pain body. And so the other thing I was able to do as I was learning about the power of now and, you know, kind of resetting, rejiggering, you know, the way I experienced my reality was noticing my pain body and really noticing the pain body in others. And that allowed me to, again, be very present. It's like, it just creates a powerfulness inside of you when you know that all you have to do right now is deal with exactly what's happening in front of you. And so many times that involves all the people around us who are also living not in the present moment. So those were the two, like my two introductory things was sort of the grounding in what is actually happening right now, and then becoming familiar with that pain body part of myself so I could, you know, really kind of transmute that part.
Okay. So and the pain body is like the inner child or the shadow side. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah. So I consider the pain body to be kind of a combination, but really sort of that shadowy part. So the shadow parts of us are like the parts that we don't like about ourselves, the parts that we have been told are wrong or bad, and we have a lot of sort of negative, heavy energy around them. And it often creates reactiveness in people as opposed to response. And as I was learning about the pain body through Eckhart, I was also learning about shadow and inner child. And it just all kind of created this nice acceleration of like, okay, what am I trying to do here? And what I'm trying to do is feel better in my life. And through these practices, I was able to release so much of like, what didn't serve me anymore, bottom line.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, when we're doing this and when we're talking like this and people are hearing our stories and getting an understanding of us, they start to get this connection. And you have got this beautiful understanding of the power of now. You're going through the pain bodies and getting that understanding. And that's what makes you unique as far as an intuitive life coach. Or that's what makes you unique because of the systems and the ideas and the areas that you've put together. And that's what I really like because everybody's so different in how they present and what they do. And I love that power of now because it really does bring us back into control. And once we feel like we've got control over our lives, not over everyone else, once we've got control over our own lives, it does make a huge difference. But for the people that's listening on the podcast, not looking, watching the video, I've got the little ticker tape going down the bottom and it says, notice, notice, notice the story you live in. If you want a different story, do something different. Mm-hmm. Now, I put that up because you had that in your bio and I thought it was just wonderful. And the first part of it is notice, notice, notice the story you live in. And this is what you're talking about with the power of now. How can we notice the story we live in a little bit more? What are the little tidbits that we can have for that?
Sure. So when I work with people, usually there's something in their life that they want to shift. They want to, a lot of the work I do is around calling in a new job. People want to lose weight. People want to shift their relationship. And we've been trained and told that, you know, if you want to lose weight, you do all of these things. If you want to change your relationship, you do all of these things. And what I think is a more important, like, order of events in order to shift something is to notice what it is that you're in right now. What are the details of your life that you live in? What are the parts of your life that you like? What are the parts of your life that you don't like? If you're, to use the example of calling in a new job, what is it about your current job that you like? What is it that you would tell, what is it that you tell yourself you want? Sort of getting into what it is that you are experiencing on a daily basis, because what we experience on a daily basis is the story we tell ourselves. So it is getting clear on how you feel in certain situations. And once we get sort of that basis of, you know, what is it, the story that you live in? So for example, with the job, you know, people will say, I'm undervalued, I'm underpaid, I'm frustrated, there's no work-life balance, all of these things. And this is all part of the story that they tell themselves. So for example, if someone's telling themselves a story where they're not valued, you know, so they're creating all of these, they have all this evidence to prove that they're not valued. And so the way that I encourage people is to notice that, like, notice that that's what you believe. Like, you believe that you are not valued. That is, if I were to ask everybody at the company, they probably wouldn't say the same thing. So it's really kind of your story. And then what is something small that you can do different to get a different result? And it can be, for many people, the way they interact at work. You know what I mean? Like, it's, if you're always raising your hand, try not raising your hand. If you never raise your hand, raise your hand. Like, people want to make these grand sweeping changes in their life. And of course that's possible, but change is one small thing at a time. And when you do something different, it's doing something that makes you uncomfortable, and then you get a different result, and then you don't feel as uncomfortable doing it anymore. So it's kind of moving through that discomfort of doing something different.
Yes. And I love that, because you've got to really notice where you are. It's like, this is uni talk, but it's like gathering that base data, isn't it? Yes. You've got to have an understanding of where you are, what you're at, and what you're doing. So you know, or there's an area that you can focus on or look at or make those changes. And often when we make too many changes at once, you might not know what it is that has been the catalyst for that change. But if you make these small little changes as we go, you can see it starting to grow and develop and change. You sort of go, okay, well, like you say with the hand raising, I love that idea. You know, it's like, I haven't been raising my hand, so I'm going to try it. Well, okay, that might not have made a big difference. All right, we've tested that theory. Let's try another one. Let's try doing it this way. And so to really notice the story you're living in and the words you're using and the thoughts that you had. The other bit I really liked is when you said, if you're in a business or in a group like that, you feel you're not valued. If you ask every other member, they would say something completely different. Yep. And that is definitely when you start to bring it back to yourself and go, well, that's the story you're believing. That's what you're feeling. So,
right. And what we believe, we create.
Yes. Yes. So with your situation, so you read this book, The Power of Now, and you've got a really good understanding of that, and you started to put these things in place. So with The Power of Now, you started noticing your story, noticing what was going on, noticing what you dislike and what you do like and what you want to take forward and what you don't want to take forward. What was your next step after that?
So my next step was connecting to my intuition. So I, as a result of living in the present moment, I was very clear that I was not in an aligned career, that I was basically doing what I've been doing since I was 22 years old. I fell into a job, I never left, and I was really quite stuck. And I didn't know what to do, because, you know, I could go get another job at another company, but what I knew was that it wasn't the company that was really the problem. It was just, it was me. I wasn't where I was supposed to be and I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing. So I knew that much, but I didn't know what it was. So a good friend of mine gave me a mantra and basically I whittled it down to show me the way, show me the how. And every day I would say, show me the way, show me the how. And when I was at work and I was frustrated and feeling undervalued and noticing my story, I would say, show me the way, show me the how, show me the way, show me the how. And then I got the divine inspiration to become a life coach, which I didn't even know it existed. You know what I mean? Before I opened myself up to, you know, to be inspired to what was the next thing that I was supposed to be doing.
Okay. I just want to take you back a quick step.
Yeah.
A mantra. Now, again, I know what that mantra, what a mantra is, but I would love you to explain it in your terminology, in your words, so other people get an understanding of what a mantra is, because this has been a big change for you and we want to know exactly what it is so we can use it ourselves if we want to.
Absolutely. Yeah. So show me the way, show me the how was, I think of mantras as something that grounds you, that brings you back into the present moment and also feels like a really good use of time because you're asking for help. So I believe that, you know, we can ask the universe and we can ask for help. I mean, before I was deep into spirituality, I was religious. So, you know, I would pray to God and I believe in the higher power. I've always believed in that. So show me the way, show me the how is a mantra that allowed me to be in the present moment, allow for what was happening, and also feel like I was doing something to call in what I was looking for. And I didn't know what that was. So mantras, I think, can be very helpful when you are trying to train your brain to kind of believe something different than maybe you would normally believe.
Yes. Oh, I like how you explained that. And it is, it's like a mind switch, isn't it? Because you're sitting there going, oh my God, everything's going crazy. What am I doing? And just to say that, and how I talk about intuition is there's the three things: you ask, you receive, and you action. Your mantra is you're asking. That's part of your asking. Yeah. Prayer is part of asking. Yeah. It really, really makes sense. But so the mantra is just trying to find those a short like sentence that makes you stop from the panic and the stress and the anxiety and flip. It's almost like flipping a switch, isn't it? Like flipping a switch and then going, okay, let's focus on something else for a minute and see what happens with that. So that's really cool.
Yeah. And for me, the mantra was, again, doing something different. It was, I've never done anything like that before. I never considered my pattern would be to find a new job. Do you know what I mean? Just leave and start somewhere new. But it was just like, I couldn't bring myself to do it. So then I didn't know what the hell to do. You know, I was totally without a plan. And so the mantra allowed me to open up to, okay, what if you don't need to know? What if it will be revealed to you? And that is a much nicer way to live.
Yes. And it's a simple thing that you can do that is one thing different. It's just like having your hand up or having your hand down, you know? Yeah. It's a very, very simple thing. No one else needs to know about it. You can do it in your head. You can put it on sticky notes and put it on your computer. It's just something so simple and so basic and yet so profound, and it can make such a big difference. It's huge.
It's really, really impactful. Yes.
Yes. And what I liked about it when I was reading your bio and getting an understanding of the podcast today was the simplicity of it. It can be so simple. It's so big and profound and all the rest of it, but it can be so simple, and everybody has these different tools and techniques that have helped them. So if you resonate with Bridget, jump onto her website. It is www.thebridgetcooper.com. Jump on her website and have a look at what she's got there to offer, because she is an intuitive coach and she can help you with that. But these lovely little different techniques that we have is really, really important and so relevant. All right. So the first thing you did was you read a book and that gave you an aha moment. And I'm not saying all books will do that, but this particular one did for you. You started to action it then. So you're in this space where you just needed something. So you may have asked in your own way and then you received this intuitive message and you've gone through the book. Then you've moved on and you've started to look at your life, the power of now, get an understanding of what it is, and you're starting to go, okay, this is where I'm at, this is what it's like. You've grabbed that base data, you've reflected, got an understanding of it. Then you've started to make these changes. So you started to action it. And the changes were, one of them was your mantra, which was really, really cool. So the mantra has come through. How did you get that information to go, I'm going to be an intuitive life coach? Because holy dooly, that is so completely different to working in corporate. So it's not something you're just going to wake up in the morning and go, okay, that's what I'm going to do. How did those sort of steps play out? How did things play out for you?
So I set the intention, or I set the mantra, show me the way, show me the how. And during this time, I had discovered a gal called Brooke Castillo, and she has a podcast called the Life Coach School Podcast. And I just started listening to it. And similar to Eckhart, she really opened me up to just concepts that I hadn't considered before. Like, we get to decide what things mean to us, and that feeling our feelings is an important part of being a human being. All of these things I didn't know. And so I was consuming her content and really feeling like empowered. And all of this time, I didn't know that she had a certification program. You know, people do podcasts and they have things that they're selling. And I knew that she had things she was selling, but I didn't know she had the certification program. Yeah. So show me the way, show me the how. I'm feeling like I don't know what to do with my life. And I turned on her podcast on Thursday morning, and the podcast was, Should You Be a Life Coach? And I was like, it was like, yes, it was a full body, yes, I should be a life coach. And I don't know how to explain it other than sort of that intuitive hit. Like, this is what you're supposed to be doing. And so I enrolled in a program that started in April of 2019. And I made the plan to exit corporate America in March of 2020. And so I went through the certification program, and I learned all of these amazing skills. I learned managing my mind and feeling my feelings, and all while I was saying goodbye to this career, and I couldn't really tell anybody about it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I couldn't share it with anyone. You were saying, you know, it's very personal. You don't need other people. When you involve other people, sometimes it becomes like less valid, you know, it somehow is invalidated. And so I went through the process of getting certified. And then in March 2020, like the week COVID hit, we were a week into COVID, I resigned from my corporate job of 15 years.
Wow. Congratulations first. And that's it. So what you're doing, you're following the thoughts and the ideas you've got, and you're listening to podcasts, you're still gathering a lot of information. But what I really like is the fact that you stay in your job, and it is a job, you stay in that so you can make that transition and do it under your terms and under your terms, for want of another word. Because I've seen other people that just drop everything and go, this is what I'm going to be, or this is what I'm going to do. And I don't feel that they've got the right mindset for it, or the right connection, the right heart connection. Whereas what you've done is you've done it in a manner that is conducive to you and how you want to be. And then all of a sudden you've come out what I call your spiritual closet. Hey, I'm here. Yeah, which is really cool. That is good. And it's such a big step.
Yeah. And it's, you know, you teach what you most need to learn, right? So with so many of the people that I work with, they are in similar kind of corporate America, dissatisfied. You know, they want to feel different in their life. And what I always encourage them to do as they're trying to shift their life is to get happy where they are. You know what I mean? Like, you don't leave, when you leave, when you're upset, when you're angry, when you're frustrated, that is, you know, that's just, I don't know. It's just not the way to do it. It's not your highest timeline. And so because I did that, I teach other people how to do that. And so many people come back to me and they say, you know, when they finally made the decision to leave their job and they called in the job that they wanted, that it was really a seamless transition because they had felt all of the feelings before they resigned. You know what I mean? Like, this wasn't something new that they were processing. I think what you're saying is people, they jump into all of this newness and it's just, it's too much. It's like, it's like wanting to, you know, run the marathon and, you know, you have to start out running you know, a mile or whatever. So it's
or they're trying to run the marathon without the training. Correct. Whereas you've gone through and you've done all that training, so you've got the understanding of going forward. But I love how you said that you have to be happy where you are, because otherwise you're taking all that crap and negativity with you.
There's an Abraham Hicks quote that I just absolutely love. And it says, you can't have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. And when I read that, I thought to myself, that is so applicable to me, because I was unhappy. Like, I would have told you I was unhappy at my job. I was unhappy, but ultimately I knew I was leaving, and I was like, okay, well then how do I want to feel? And how I wanted to feel was proud of, you know, the years that I had put in there, curious about what was happening around me, but not personalizing it, you know, really moving through it in a way that felt empowering, as opposed to like disempowering, which I think a lot of times can happen when you are leaving from a place of, you know, anger and agitation and something.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's, and making that transition is really cool, because it is a struggle. I remember leaving one of my jobs to go into another one, and I did the same. And all I did was take on all that. There was no happy ending. Whereas with another time, I ended up leaving and thinking, I really didn't want to leave that job because I really liked the people. So it was a different, it was still a happy ending, but it was a whole different concept. So yeah, be happy where you are. Get that happiness first before moving on, because that's what you're taking with you then. That is really good. Now, the other thing I've got on the little ticker tape, now I saw this on your bio too, which I really liked, was setting an intention before doing anything will drastically change your life. So you're at this particular stage now where you're still in your work mode, and you have done your study and your research and your learnings to become an intuitive life coach. How did you go about setting that intention? Because there's an intention as far as I want to leave that job and start that, but how did you put that into place? What was your intention, and how do we set those intentions?
Sure. I think that the way that I came to be a life coach was through the intention of, as I was doing Show Me the Way, Show Me the How, I was also focusing on things like, what am I naturally good at? What are things that, you know, they talk about, if you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. I never understood that. I was like, what does that even mean? I work isn't enjoyable, or, you know, it's not like pleasurable. And so I started to get clear on what it was that I was good at. And when you set that intention to get clarity on what you're good at, I mean, and it's really like, so I'm a heavy journaler. I probably should have mentioned that in the beginning. So I journal a lot. I wake up every day and journal. And so as I'm journaling, you know, I'm setting the intention, like, what is it that I'm good at? And over the course of this time, I realized that I have so many gifts that allow me to show up in service to other people, but I didn't realize that they were always there, but I didn't see them as gifts. And I think so many times with people, the thing that you tell yourself is sort of your negative, or was you have shame around or anything like that, is really probably one of the things that you're here to do and to shine your light in that way. And so for me, intention in this instance is setting the intention to understand, like, why am I here and what am I supposed to be doing? And part of that is being nice to myself and, like, what are you good at? You know, what are things that you could do in your sleep? And through that, I got just a lot of clarity about what my sole purpose is.
Yes. And part of that intention is just sort of going, well, I'm not really as happy here as I would like to be. So my intention is to become happier. How am I going to do that? And that's where your mantra came in, show me the way, show me the how. It all starts to look at your intention, isn't it? Because when you think about it, actually that mantra is almost an intention, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, I want to know the way and I want to know how.
Yeah.
So that's an intention. I remember when I started this podcast, the very first podcast that I put out, or episode I put out, was my intention. That was it. And the intention for this podcast. And I remember going through it and getting a clear understanding of what it really was that I wanted to do this podcast for, because I can assure you, there's no money in podcasting. I'm sure, you know. Yeah, really well to do, but there's no money in it. So it's got to be a love job. It's got to be something that you're passionate about, because there's a lot of hours you spend in it. So having that intention, and even when you're saying, okay, I want to be a life coach, you did the course, you did the training for it, but there's still that intention behind it, because you can still go, you know what, I've learned it all, but it's not quite for me. I want to just do this. I want to try that. And so having that intention is great, because it gets you going, but it doesn't mean you have to stick with that, people. You can change. We're allowed to do that.
You're allowed to change things.
Sorry, what was that?
You're allowed to change your mind.
Yes, I know. That's the best part of life.
Yeah. People don't teach us that.
Yeah. Well, Bridget, what I would love to get a little bit more of, I like, you said you were doing some journaling. Like I'm picking up on this stuff. Journaling, what is that? How do you do that? How will that help somebody? Because obviously that's helped you in your ways. Yeah. What are you, because we don't have a lot of time, but what are those little steps that you take to do journaling? Because I know I've opened a book often, empty pages, and I've looked at it and gone, right, don't know what to do there. I mean, I I'm an author. I've written my book and all the rest of it. But there's times there when you sort of look at a blank page and go, yeah, just not happening. What am I doing? So what's journaling all about?
So I like journaling for clearing your mind. I think for a lot of human beings, they have very busy minds. They have a lot of thoughts going on in their brain. And journaling isn't, you know, the Dear Diary. It's just writing whatever you want, however you want to do it, to get the thoughts out of your head and onto paper. And with my clients, I would say 50% of them do it, 50% of them don't. It's not necessary. I think for some people, it really creates a space of, like, this is my journal right here. You can write whatever you want. It's just for you. You don't have to be censored or perfect. It's just a function of getting what's in your brain onto paper. And then what can be very helpful is people realize just what is going on in that brain of theirs, which is not a lot of supportive, nice words.
So they can, hang on, let me pop you back up. They can actually use that as far as getting an understanding of where they are at now, like noticing the story they live in. Journaling could help them with that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You see the patterns and the themes and, you know, the words that you use and just the way that you feel most of the time. I think a lot of people are on autopilot. They're on this autopilot of feelings. And as they start to create an awareness around them, journaling can be really helpful with that.
Yeah. Okay. And like you say, there's some people were happy to do it, and some people are better at doing it, and others aren't. It might be their thing, but you've got to have a go, don't you?
You've got to try it. Absolutely. And I would say to people, I remember when I was journaling, when I was, like, you know, at work, when I was in corporate America, I had my, like, you know, my workbook, and I would, like, turn to the back page. I would just, like, write and write and write and write and write. So for me, it was really, really, really cathartic. So I feel so strongly about it. But as you know, there's all different ways that people can clear their minds and connect to what they're feeling. It doesn't need to be journaling, but that happens to be a very, a heavy tool in my toolbox, a big, like, an important tool.
Yeah. I must admit, I don't do journaling, but I do writing. I do writing a lot. So when I'm trying to work things out, I have to do the handwriting, you know, to make it, I don't know, succinct. And I've got paper everywhere, like notes every time someone's talking. Like I've written down, show me the way, show me the how. I wrote it down while you're talking. It's almost like I need to get that understanding, and I need to see it as well. So writing it and seeing it and, you know, repeating it, it makes a big difference. So when you're doing or you're writing with your journal, what do you do with that information? Like some people could sort of, like you were saying earlier about the diary, I know as a young teenager, I had a diary, and my sister got it, and, of course, then gave me such a hard time about it. It was one of those things that I just closed in my life then. And I guess that's probably one of my fears about journaling. It's like, I don't want anyone else to know. And if you've written it down, they can see it.
Yes.
So what do you recommend? What can help me?
Well, I think even just realizing that that experience impacted you, that you were like, that was like a violation of your privacy. And, you know, I say to people, your journal is just for you. No one needs to read it. I don't even reread my journal usually. Like, I don't go back and look at it. Do you know what I mean? It's really just, again, kind of present moment, like getting it out. And I think of it as like, this is my space where I can write whatever I want. And I've, you know, no one in my house is reading it, but I've said to them, like, if you read it, like, read at your own peril. Do you know what I mean? Because there might be something in there about you that you don't like. And guess what? I'm allowed to write whatever I want. Do you know what I mean? Without this, I would be, before I started journaling, I think I was very heavy in like the autopilot thoughts, the stories, and getting it out allows me to sort of alchemize it. For me, that's my process.
Yeah. No, I love that. And like I said, people will connect with you because that's a process they like and that's what they understand.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to run back over everything. The first thing you did was you read a book. Now, I'm not going to harp on the type of book or anything else, but it's the fact that you were doing the research. It's the fact that you were open to listening or reading other people's stories and understandings and taking on that information. So to start with, you were open to it. From there, you've got an understanding of a few things that you can, you've got the base data. This is how I'm living. This is what I want to change. This is what I like. This is what I don't like. And started to get an understanding of who you are. Then you started to go, let's start to change things a little bit differently. Let's do one little thing at a time. And if anybody wants to know what all those little things are, they can listen back to the podcast or they can connect with you at thebridgetcooper.com. So the other, I'll pop that back up so people can see that. And so then you've sort of started to get a bit more of an understanding of where you want to go and what you want to do, and you started to set those intentions. Because it felt right, didn't it? And you started to set those intentions.
Correct. Yeah. And I think that most humans, when they start to connect to themselves, to, you know, what is going on inside of themselves, and because it brings them more into alignment, so many things can shift around them. So it's such an important and meaningful experience.
Yeah. And what I really liked about yours, you know, the story, Bridget, is the simplicity of it. I just think that's absolute, because people go off, oh, it's, you know, you've got to be this and find enlightenment and it's rah, rah, rah. And you sort of think, no, settle pedal. It's really, really simple. But it's even easier when you're following or you're going with a life coach or you're going with somebody, you're following somebody else along. And you've done that. You've followed other people. I've followed books. I couldn't tell you how many books I've read, podcasts you listen to and different things like that, because they resonate in a different way. But the biggest thing is it is simple. The hardest part is actually doing it, isn't it? Because it's not hard. It's just being consistent and doing it, and having somebody like yourself around to support you is just gold. But we are getting a bit low on time. So again, if you want to connect with Bridget, it is thebridgetcooper.com. Have you got one more little tidbit, or would you like to share anything before we go?
I just want to encourage people to whatever it is they can do to create more stillness in their life, even if it's just 10 minutes a day, where they sit and they don't have anything around them and they can just get familiar with themselves and the way that they feel and the thoughts that they think. I think as this world turns madly on, it's going to be so much more important, even more so than ever before. And there's nothing that you need outside of yourself. You have it all inside of yourself, but until you access it, it is, it could be, you know, a little uncomfortable. I think more uncomfortable than it needs to be in this human experience is maybe the way I would say it.
And in all honesty, that just rolls it right back down to the title of this podcast, which is If You Want a Different Life, Do Something Different. And, yeah, like you said, it's that uncomfortable sitting with yourself. That it can be uncomfortable. It can be challenging. But that's what you need to do in order to create a new life or a different life. That is one. Thank you so much, Bridget, for being on the show. It was wonderful.
Thank you, Susan. I'm so pleased to speak with you. It was really fun.
Oh, cool. Now, stay online and I'll chat with you after this. I will press all the right buttons and go. Yes, I pressed the right buttons. Cool. Oh, that was really good. So connect with Bridget. If that resonates with you, connect with her. I really love the idea of that simplicity of it. It's not hard to do, but it really helps when you've got somebody there to show you which way to go. You can do it all on your own. That's for sure. We've done it on our own. Bridget's done it on her own. But I can assure you, you could take like 30 years off. That's how long it's taken me to get here. Mm-hmm. And you could take quite a few years off of Bridget's too if you connect with somebody like that. So I don't mean to harp on that, but, it, you know, people ask how we can do it, how they can do it. You can do it in so many ways. You can do it the hard way like I did. But there is so many easier ways to do it with that guidance and the support that you might be looking for. So jump onto the website. That is it for me today. We had something to tell you and I can't remember what it was. Subscribe, like, share the podcast, and I'll try and remember what it was I was going to say to you. Yes, I will probably be in the UK when you see this one, or just getting back from the UK. I'm going with my dad, who's 92. We're having 4 weeks over there. So that'll be an amazing time. He's going to show me where I was born and everything else. I'm the only one in the family of eight that hasn't been back to the UK as an adult. I came over to Australia when I was 2.5. So I'm really looking forward to that. So maybe that was what I needed to share with you. I'll jump onto the Intuitive Personal Development by Susan Jane, or with Susan Jane, Facebook group, and we do live flower readings on there. They're really fun. But that's me for today. Hang on, let me bring back the branding. I've got to do all the right buttons again. Have a great week, and we'll catch you next week. Okay, bye for now.